All right, Brother Drowsy, would you come up and read our chapter, Galatians chapter 2?
Galatians chapter 2. And then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, came in privily to spy out our liberty we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it make no matter to me, God is no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But in contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they, that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was for to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I was searching to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with them, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest among after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the faith, by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is there therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a treasure. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
Thank you. Let's go ahead and pray. Just real quick, let me lock myself in place. Lord, I pray you bless this service, give me utterance, in Jesus' name, amen. One second. I'm trying to lock myself in place, but I got bad stick drift, so my whole thing's going crazy. Oh, almost got it. No, I didn't. All right. Well, one second. This is great. It's great. One second. Oh my gosh. Okay. There we go. Okay. Anyway, title of my sermon today is Freedom from the Law. Now, I had a good friend of mine who was a part of our community, a good friend. He helped us build this world. He supplied some funds, but he left our community. He left it, and I reached out to him, and it's been, he blocked me and then reached out. I reached out to him, and he said to me, I said, hey, how are you doing? Now, before he left, he was missing, well, he just broke up with his girlfriend, so he's in a dark place, and he was telling me how he missed his old church. He missed the physical fellowship, and already this was a bad sign, and I said to him, well, you know they have a false gospel. You know they teach law for the Christian life. And he said, I know. But But then overnight, he blocked us and left our community. And I texted him. He didn't block me on iPhone messages. So I texted him and said, hey, man, it's been a long time. How are you? And he responded with me. He said, why are you texting me? You want to cause division? And it turns out he'd been joining these certain servers that are very legalistic and very law-based. And has showed me that he has went back to the law. Now, I want to share with you this wonderful truth that we all know here today about our freedom from the law. Now, many Christians don't live like that. Many Christians live like slaves and servants and are very self-righteous. And they put others under bondage and condemnation. But I want to share with you your freedom here. Now, in Galatians 2, now Paul is telling the story how he went in Acts 15, how he went to the council in Jerusalem to face the big three. James, people, one of the pillars of the early church in Jerusalem, John, whom the Lord loved, and Cephas, whom one followed Jesus. And he went up there to present his case, his gospel. Paul's gospel wasn't, it didn't come from human origin. It came from God himself. So Paul had this authority. If you look in Acts, you see his authority. His authority came from God. But in Acts, he stood there and preached this wonderful message of grace, of our freedom from the law. Now, the issue is in Acts, now, most of them understood salvation by faith. That wasn't the issue. You know, Peter said, hey, you know, by grace they're saved, you know. But the issue was the Christian life. Well, okay, these Gentiles were justified by faith, but, you know, James wrote a letter saying, you know what, for them to be accepted before us, let them follow these laws, abstain from fornication, from idols, from meat, sacrifice to blood, all of that. He was putting demands on Gentiles, which were us. And Paul walked out of there not agreeing. In Galatians 2, he says this, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, who seemed, basically not really understand the grace that was given to me. And in verse 11, is what I want you to look at with me today, when he rebukes Peter. And he says here, but when Peter was came to Antioch, now Paul and Peter were good friends before this happened. They were close. They love one another. Peter knew that Paul was from God. They fellowship. They abode for 15 days, Paul said. And they were fellowshipping here with the Gentiles. Peter was eating freely. He knew that there was no condemnation. He could eat the meat freely. But then men came from James, law keepers, Judaizers, people of the circumcision faction. And because of that, Peter drew back. Just like today. How many Christians won't eat with people because of the way they dress, the way they look? They drew back, fear of the circumcision crowd. And Paul says this, verse 11, but when Peter came to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. When they arrived, he withdrew, separate himself, fearing them which are the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise in him so much that Barnabas was carried away with their demonstration, meaning hypocrisy. And Paul stood there and said, you should know better, Peter. That we by Jews are nature, not sons of the Gentiles, know that a man is not saved by the law or justified by the law, but by the faith of Christ. I do not frustrate the grace of God, he said to Peter. If righteousness came by law, then Christ is dead in vain. Paul was standing firm on this message he received from God. That is total freedom from the law. We don't live by 10 commandments. We're dead to it. We don't live by ritual food laws. We have died to them. Galatians 2:19. For I, through the law, am dead to them, I live unto God. We are justified freely by grace, Paul says. Jesus himself talked about the law will be abolished. In Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, he's preaching the law. And Jesus said, don't think I come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill. And of course, in Luke 24, he says, listen, all this must happen before the law can be abolished. All this must have happened concerning the Psalms and the prophets concerning me. So the Lord Jesus brought full completion to the law, fulfilling the Psalms, all of it that concerned him. And he says in Matthew 11 that the law and the prophets prophesied until John. The law, that shows that the law's time was temporary. In Mark, it says, no man putteth new wine into old bottles. The law, which is the old wineskin, cannot mix with grace, the new wine. The two cannot mix. Christ did not come to upgrade the law. He didn't come to you and say, you better live by these rules. He came here to raise the standards of it, to show us we can't keep it. That was the whole purpose in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord's Prayer, was to show you that you cannot keep it. That all these things must have come concerning the Psalms and him. And then what happened? He went to the cross. And at the cross, Colossians 2:14, he blot out the handwriting of ordinances that were contrary to us to go out and to the cross, abolishing the law. There's no demand on you now. Paul says in Galatians 3, for as many of the works of the law are under a curse, for as cursed is them who continue not in all things. And many Christians today are not living like the law wasn't abolished. They're living like Christ never died. They're living like Jesus never died, that the cross of Christ never happened. So you have tons of Christians today, tons of them, churches, ministries that build upon it, ministries that are filled with self-righteousness, filled with Judaizers, calling themselves Christians, calling themselves believers. And in Acts 15, Luke talked about these people. He said, the sect of the Pharisees who believed. These religious leaders, these religious people who say, I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. I believe he's the Messiah. But yet they add qualifications to his grace. They told the Gentiles, in order to be accepted before God and accepted before the church, they must get circumcised. Or James wrote it, they must follow these rules. But Paul did not compromise. He stand firm on what he received from God. That you have died to the law. You died to it. The law has no right, no legal hold of you anymore. The moment you come to Jesus, yes, you, by faith, you come to him and you place your faith in his finished work, you are justified from all things, Paul says. Acts 13:38. He says, listen, believe in him and you're justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now you're fully forgiven of all your sins, past, present, future, forgiven. But now you've been qualified. You've been made righteous in Christ. The law itself is dead. You're dead to it. Not just that, Paul says, but you have been crucified to this world. Colossians 2. We don't live by the principles of this world, these ordinances of this world. Touch not, hear not, taste not. Doctrines of man, commandments of men. And many churches, that's what they plague you with. False religion. Paul talks about in Colossians 2 how these rules, these regulations seem to be wisdom of humility and false worship of angels. But they do nothing to satisfy the flesh. Many Christians try to get you to think that the Christian life is about you stop sinning. So they make up these rules, these commandments of men. And they get it from scripture and say, oh, look what Jesus said here. And they twist it. So you must follow this in order to be accepted. But God said, no. When Jesus came here and he said, take up my cross and follow me. It was to show you, you cannot go where he was going. Where did he go? To the cross. And by the way, we don't need to take up a cross anymore. The cross happened. We're now what? Crucified with Christ. What happened at the cross? Jesus bore our sins, but took on upon flesh. Adam, all its strengths, all its ambitions, all its weakness, everything, and killed it. He wants nothing to do with it. So he's saying, there's no demand on you now. God is not seeking something from you. He's done with the flesh. He's not saying, give your life to me. He's not saying, invite me into your heart. He's not saying, make me Lord of your life. He's not saying that. He's not saying, come to church, get baptized, tithe, and be a good person, and get right with God. No, he's saying, listen, come to me and receive me as Savior. Believe that I am he. Believe what I did at the cross was for you. And when you believe that, he gives you total forgiveness of sins. In Acts 26:18, he talks about the Gentiles. He says to open their eyes from darkness to light so they can receive forgiveness of sins and the inheritance among them that are sanctified. You've been made perfect right now. You, me, all of us here have been made perfect by God, by grace. Well, preacher, I still sin. Your sin's been dealt with at the cross. He no longer sees them. God no longer sees you in your sins. You can sin 1,000 times today, and none of it can touch your record in heaven, for you've been fully forgiven. Now, people hate this truth. Paul says in Romans 3, as we be slanders reported by the Judaizers, who come in and say, look, they're teaching people to do evil, so good may come. And Paul says, their damnation is just, for they hate the gospel of grace. They hate it. Why? Because the room's all pride. No ego. There's no ego for it. There's no room for pride and ego. There's no room for boasting. Because you can't save yourself. You realize that. Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, not one. We're saved by the moment we believe the gospel. That is it. No ifs and buts. We had when we started the grace ministry back in last year, 2024, we had one of my good friends who was a hardcore Baptist. He said, "Preacher, you filled your churches with e-prostitutes and this and all this other stuff." And his brother Wesley, people will know he used to preach for us back when we were hardcore legalistic. I said, "You're right, we do." And he didn't like that. He was self-righteous. But Christ died for sinners, brother. He died for the ungodly. And you're not telling them to change because they don't need to change. It's to him that works not but believes, Romans 4:5. Well, you're not telling them to clean up their act because they don't have to clean up their act. And those who tell you that you must clean up your act are under God's curse. Galatians 1:9. If any man preach unto any other gospel that you have received, let him be accursed. Let him be damned. Those who, Paul says to the Galatians, who hinder you? You were running so well. You were running in the grace of God. You were continuing in faith. But who hinder you? Who hinder you, he says. It was the Judaizers. And Paul says they're under God's curse. When men who claim, listen, men who come to you who seem to be Christian, oh yeah, we believe in Jesus. When they start to tell you that you're not good enough, that you have to get to work and clean up your life, and tell you to do X, Y, and Z in order to get saved or be accepted, they're under God's curse. Run from them. For Paul says in Galatians 2:16, clearly, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. I was talking to someone who was gay. In VR chat's big in here. And he said, "Preacher, you know, you're telling me it's only by believing. So even if I continue in this lifestyle, God's not mad at me." No, he's not. You are justified by faith in his blood. Because the moment you believe, he no longer sees you in your sins. He no longer sees you as that. He sees you as holy and righteous, as God, as Christ himself. Why? Because the moment you believe, you're now in Christ. Your true life is hidden with God in Christ. That's the good news of the gospel. And people hate that because they hate grace. They hate Jesus, what he did at the cross. When Jesus came down here and said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments," it was to show you that you don't love him as the law demands. See, the purpose of God's law wasn't given to save us. It wasn't given to be our rule book for our life. It was given to show our inability to keep it. Romans 3:19-20 says this. "Now we know then, whatsoever the law saith, it saith them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, the whole world will be guilty before God." Jews and Gentiles, Paul says. The Jews think they're religious and they're more moral. Gentiles who are plagued with immorality, pagan gods. Paul says, no matter what, we're all under sin. And that's what the purpose of the law was to show us, to show our mouths. And in verse 20, "Therefore then," Paul says, "by the deeds of the law," the works of the law. By the way, repenting of your sins is the works of the law. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. He's saying those works of the law will not be justified, meaning you will not be saved. You will not be declared righteous only by faith. Now, repentance is not turning from sin. The biblical repent word is a change of mind. When Jesus said repent and believe in me, he says change your mind from unbelief to belief, not turning from sin. That's a made-up doctrine by religious people. The original Greek doesn't say that. Nor does the Bible say that. The Bible says repent. But men added, remember, Paul warns us, Colossians 2, they added their own doctrines. They added from sins, but it's not there. Anytime the word repent is mentioned, it has to do with change of mind. Change of mind. And when it comes in the context of going to heaven, it has to be this change of mind from unbelief to belief. If you're trusting in yourself, you change your mind from that to trust in Christ alone. That's biblical repentance. But repenting of your sin is not repentance. That's a doctrine of man, commandment of man. And Paul says it's all going to perish. All of it. But these Christians, even here on VR chat, they're creeping in. Look at Galatians 2:4. Paul says, "Beware of false brethren who creep in unawares." They come in unaware. Sneaky little rats they are. "To bring you, to spy out your freedom," he says, "and to bring you under bondage." Who hinder you? Now, we're free from the law, Paul says. We're justified by faith apart from the law. The law cannot save us. The law cannot justify us. Now, people say, okay, now some will come and say, "Okay, all right, preacher, you're right. We're saved by faith. But now the Christian life has to be a life of obedience and self-denial. This is how you know they're not from God." Because Paul makes it very clear in Galatians 2. God is done with your flesh. Your ambitions, your weakness, your strengths, whatever you think is good of it, he's done with it. Paul says in Romans 7, "In my flesh," oh, that's my robot arm, "but in my flesh, do I have no good thing. All we do in the flesh is sin, commit sin. You can't perfect it. Paul says in Galatians 3, are you so foolish? Having begun the Spirit by faith, are you perfected by the flesh? The answer is no. You can't perfect it. So these men will add their rules to try to restrain it, but it doesn't work because you can't. You can't. So how do we live the Christian life then, preacher? Paul says in Galatians 2, I am crucified with Christ. I mean, has God judged my flesh? He's done with it. I live, he says. I live. I'm alive, but not I. But Christ, I mean, the life that I now live in the flesh is by faith in the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 3:11, the just, the believer, shall live by faith. The law is not of faith, he says. You're no longer under it. If you condemn yourself and you feel guilty, that's not from God. That's from the accuser, Satan. The law is done with. That has no right to condemn over you. You're free from it, Paul says. Jesus said himself, you're free from it. To seek any form of righteousness by the law, whether it's for salvation or Christian living, is to frustrate the grace of God. My friend here, who ran well with us, who knew the doctrine by heart, went back to the law over feelings. That's what people do. They look for feelings, dopamine hits. They seek acceptance before men. Paul was forsaken by the church in Jerusalem, by the big three, was forsaken by his own men and own churches. Paul's church had never been big. This message of grace has never been big or popular. And Paul was alone when he died. And Jesus came in revelation with thunder to Paul's churches, who went back to Baal. And Baal pictures the law in this context. It pictures people forsaking Christ, forsaking grace, and going back to themselves. Revelation is scary, yes. But he's rebuking Paul's churches for leaving grace. Amen, Lisa, amen. But my friend, who I'm not going to say his name, but who I love, I pray he comes back. I pray he comes back to grace. I'll tell you what, Paul in Hebrews says this. Now, Hebrews 10:26, people like to twist this verse where it says, if we sin willfully, after we see the knowledge of truth, there's no more sacrifice for sins. They'll say, oh, you can lose your salvation. That's not what it's saying. Read the context. Verse 18, verse 17. Paul, he says in Hebrews 10:17, their sins, their iniquities will I remember no more. The people in Hebrews were getting tempted to go back to the law, animal sacrifices. And whoever wrote Hebrews was reminding them that you've been saved by faith, you've been perfected. Hebrews 10:14, you've been perfected the moment you believe. And Hebrews 10:18, where the forgiveness of this is, or the remission of this is, meaning forgiveness, there is no more offering for sin. So if you continue this willfully, there's no more offering for sin. You've been forgiven already. Now, verse 27, he warns about this fire indignation that was coming. It wasn't for you. It was for the people in that church in Hebrews, the Jewish believers. They were forsaken the assembly of Christ. And God was going to have temporal judgment on Jerusalem for going back to the animal sacrifices, the law. And Jesus let Rome destroy Jerusalem as a judgment for going back to the law. So in Hebrews 10 was a warning to believers. Hey, don't forsake each other in this time. Stay with each other. Don't go back to the law because I'm going to destroy it completely. I'm going to destroy the temple system completely, to abolish it completely. And the fire, then it happened. Rome came in, conquered and butchered and destroyed it completely. It was destroyed. 70 AD. That wasn't the time about losing your salvation. It was a warning for those people during that time not to go back. Don't forsake each other. Don't go back to the law. You know that your sins are forgiven. There's no need for animal sacrifices. But now today, people have their own sacrifices to make up. They make up their own rules. They'll say, okay, well, you sin, okay. Well, you know, let's read your Bible more. Get closer. Listen, every single one of you who has believed the cross, what Jesus did, you're as close as God you can be. There's no such thing as getting closer to God. Oh, pray more, gain his presence. Romans 5. You're standing in the presence of God now, regardless of what state and condition you're in. This, Paul says, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith. By faith, we have peace with God, our Lord Christ. Access to this grace, through this favor, to his presence we stand in. There's no such thing as not. There's no such thing as getting closer to God. If you believe the gospel, you're close to God now. I came across this TikToker who plays in VR chat. Goes by the name Garo Shadow Furry. He says, I surrender my life to God, thinking that's going to save him. And he came on here judging homosexuals. So if you continue in homosexuality, you're going to go to hell. This man who's a hypocrite, he's condemned. He's under God's curse because he's preaching another gospel. The gospel is not surrender your life to God. The gospel is not turning from your sins. The gospel is not feeling sorry for your sins. The gospel of grace is that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, but 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. That's how you're justified. Churches, we're almost done. Churches and VR chat, spread like wildfire. Communities, build up. Now you better watch out, because half of them are from Satan. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, Satan's ministers come in as ministers of righteousness. What was the first doctrine of the devil? Genesis 3:8. You should be as God, knowing from right and wrong. That's the law. And what are they teaching in churches today? That same message. You can be accepted. You can be righteous. You can be holy apart from God if you just knew what is good and what is evil. And that doctrine has been taught in churches, the serpent message. We need to get back to the gospel of grace. We had a goal for our ministry here. When we started this new ministry, this new VR chat grace, this new ministry that we started here on VR chat, we're going to do something different. Our goal was to conquer, and it still is, VR chat with the gospel of grace. Many people in VR chat reject God because they've been hurt by religion. They've been left with this distorted view of God. Then God's this hard taskmaster who's ready to strike them down because of their sins. No. God's a loving savior, John 3:16. Have you forgotten that verse? I remember I was talking to some Satanists and they were saying to me, well, preach, I don't believe because of these rules and that rules. And I said, you don't have to live by those rules. You have liberty in Christ. You're justified by faith apart from the law. All things are lawful unto you. And they were shocked to hear this. See, the message of grace has been forgotten. Why would a loving God make salvation hard? He wouldn't. Now, I'm using the human argument here. See, Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. What's the broad way? Look at every religion. It's all about you. You clean yourself up. You get to work. You do this. There's different forms of it. Some people front load, they're honest with you, and some people back load. Oh, no. You know, they say, oh, no, you're saved by grace, but you got to get to work. See, it's always about you. That's the broad way. I bet you've asked a Christian that you see on VR chat other than us, ask him, how do you get to heaven? It'll tell you, well, you got to repent of your sins. You got to go to church. You got to give your life to God. You got to surrender and obey his commandments. That's the broad way, brother. But he says, narrow is the way, and straight is the gate to find life. Who is life? Christ is life. He is the way. He is the narrow gate. And he says this in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him. Notice, believe. What does the word believe mean? To be convinced. Persuaded. If you were convinced what Jesus did at the cross was for you, you're saved. He says, whoever believeth should not go to hell, should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how simple it is. But you know what? The religious leaders, the Pharisees, hated that. In Luke 18, you read the verse in Luke 18 where there was the publican, the sinner, and the Pharisee, the religious leader, the man you may think was a man of God during that time. The religious leader prayed, thank God I'm not like this publican here. Thank God I'm not like these people here. But the publican, who was a sinner, couldn't even look up to heaven. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God, in that very nanosecond, justified him, declared him righteous. Why? Because of his faith. Many Christians have gone the way of Cain, and they have hindered many people. Even some of you here today that have hindered you. And so it's harder for you to read the Bible because you can only read it in law and legalism. So you can't touch God's word. You get fear. They have hindered your mind. They hinder your conscience. I'll tell you what, there's vengeance for you. They're under God's curse. Their time's coming. Romans 2 says, God is treading up wrath against them. So it's okay. God is not surprised when you struggle and you just can't read it because you're hurting. He understands. But I said, what was that? They have hindered us. But I'll tell you what. Paul says that their day is coming. These legalistic street preachers you see on the street corner who's condemning people, calling people names and slurs, thinking it's righteous. The Westboro Baptist Church people. Paul says their day's coming. And flaming fire, God's coming, he says, to take vengeance on them who obey not the gospel. Obeying the gospel, believing the gospel. These religious people, self-righteous people, their judgment's coming. But these people, these religious leaders in VR chat and outside VR chat, Christians, Modern Christianity is like our modern Judaism. It's sad to say, but it is. But they have gone the way of Cain. Almost done. They have turned the grace of God lasciviousness. What does that mean? Why did Paul say that? Or Jude said that in Jude 1. What does that mean, turn the God's grace lasciviousness? The Greek there is to exchange it. To remove it. These Judaizers were calling God's grace evil. So they were turning it into lasciviousness. They were calling it evil. And they replaced it with works. Jude 1:11. They've gone the way of Cain. The way of Cain is a picture of people who approach God based on their works, based on their deeds. The story of Cain and Abel. Abel offered up the blood sacrifice, which was a picture of Christ, the cross. Cain offered up his own works to God, his fruit of his own labor. And when he saw that God justified Abel by faith, Cain hated that and killed Abel. And just like that today, that same spirit is in the churches today. They hate you. They'll accuse you of many things. Like Cain accused God. We've been going for about 32 minutes. We're almost done here. So freedom from the law. This is a basic truth. Read Galatians, 6 chapters. Read it. You die to the law. You live by faith. You're saved by faith and you live by faith. You no longer live by rules and regulations. See, God's grace is free. There's no qualifications. And you say, oh, people can do whatever they want? That's how I know where their heart's mind is at. They hate the fact that it's a free gift. When they come to me, they try to trap me in these questions. Give me a crazy moral hypothetical. So I'll go ahead and play the level. Yes, you can do whatever you want. 1 Corinthians 6, all things are lawful unto you. Not all things are edifying. Not all things are expedient, but all things are lawful. So I can just believe in Jesus, do X, Y, and Z? Yes. Because here's the thing. Whatever you think of, you are already that in the heart. The whole point of Jesus' earthly ministry was to raise the standard of the law, to show people that can't keep it. Well, you're saying, well, and what about murders? You are a murderer within the heart. If you've hated somebody, it's a murder within the heart. If you've ever lusted at someone, you'll commit adultery within the heart. The purpose is we all come short of God's glory. And the good news for sinners is that he justifies us, declares righteous, and qualifies us by his blood. And that's the good news of the gospel. And the gospel shows us more than that. That after we're saved, we're complete in Christ. We lack nothing. We're righteous and holy no matter what. We may sin and we do every day outwardly in our flesh, but it doesn't determine who we are. And it's no longer on our record or account. We can live our lives with peace, knowing that God is for us, not against us. Love. Now in churches, we're almost done with this. They'll come to you and say they believe in grace, but they add qualifications to it. They add qualifications and requirements to it. It's like James did in Acts 15. They'll say, well, listen, if you want God's favor, you want his blessings, you must go soul winning or do X, Y, and Z. No. No, you don't. Well, if you want rewards, you gotta do it. No, listen. Rewards are not what you do for God. 1 Corinthians 3 is talking about building up the body of Christ. And he says, that is with wood, hay, and stubble we burn up. What is wood, hay, and stubble? Of the flesh. Works that you do, trying to get God's favor, trying to get God's blessings. All that's going to be burned up. But the precious stones and all that stuff, that's Christ, what he has done in you. The rewards are just God's expressions of what he has done in you. You don't get rewarded for what you do for God. rewards and are not of wages, Paul says, Romans 4:4. To him that worketh is the reward. Notice that the reward is not a grace but a debt. The grace is of grace, and it's Christ himself. The rewards are expressions of what Christ has done in you. And when we face Christ, he's going to display that. And it all points back to the ultimate reward, who is Christ himself. But it's a free gift. It's not of wages, Paul says. It's free. So if you simply just believe what Jesus did right now, no matter what you're doing, you say, I've never gone to church. I never prayed. I never read my Bible. But if you believe what Jesus did, right now, you're saved and you're complete and you're accepted. So to my friend out there who has left us, I ask him, who hinder you? You're running so well. Well, you're running so well. That's why it's important that we have fellowship. We encourage each other into the gospel. Peter went back to the law himself. If it can happen to Peter, it can happen to you and me. That's why Paul encourages us to continue in the faith, to be grounded in this message of grace, to be settled in it. Let our hearts be burned with it. Be established in it. So we don't be moved away from it. Now, some Christians, they get moved away from it. They're still saved. They're still justified. But, you know, Hebrews says, in my wrath when I enter my rest. And a lot of these Christians do not have rest. And because they don't have rest, they attack you. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you for justifying us by your blood. That's not of works, as I mentioned, boast. It's a free gift. Lord, thank you, Lord, that our life is hid with God in Christ. That you are our righteousness, you are our holiness, our sanctification, our redemption. And that right now, Lord, remind us that we're complete in you, that we lack nothing. Lord, I pray that this sermon was a blessing to someone, that was encouraging them in the faith, Lord. Lord, I just also pray that you help us to remind ourselves, teach us daily to walk in this good news and be confident bold before you, Lord. Help us to let that therefore abide in us, whichever beginning continue in you, Lord. Amen. All right. Church is dismissed. Whew. Amen. Amen. All right, dude.
Amen.